Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Amen. It's good to see you this morning.
Appreciate you being a part of the services today. And visitors, we welcome you. I appreciate you coming and being with us. Amen. If you would be turning over to the book of Ephesians, we will... pardon me. Be continuing our series of talking about the unsearchable riches of Christ or the treasure that we have in Christ. I truly believe many people today, their lives are where they are because they have failed to either remember or they have lost the connection with what value we have in Christ, what Christ has done for us and what we have in Christ because of Him. It is evident in many people's lives today that they either don't care or they don't think about it. It's just the truth. Because when you understand what you have in Christ and what He did for you, it will change your life. And I will say this in the beginning, because I'm going to say it again in the end. Jesus Himself, this is Jesus speaking in the Word of God. He said it Himself, and then I believe it's mentioned even over in the book of 1 John. Jesus says, "How can you say that you love Me and do not the things that I say?" There's a lot of Christians today who say they love God, but I would have to say, because of what Jesus said, no, you don't. No, you don't. He said, "How can you say you love Me and do not the things that I say?" Is that truth? Amen. That came from Jesus Christ Himself. So I would like for all of us to challenge ourselves, but the next time before you tell somebody how much you love Him, I would prefer you show them. Because we live in a culture today where everybody wants to sing about the love of Christ, everybody wants to talk about the love of Christ, everybody wants to associate themselves with Christ, and they look like nothing like Christ, they sound nothing like Christ, and there is no example in their life that Christ has ever cross paths with them. You cannot come, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, you cannot come in contact with the holy God of heaven and the gift that He gave to redeem your soul and not be a changed person. It is not possible. It's not possible. He said we are new creatures. Not that we can't have a problem. No, I'm not saying everybody that you're going to be sinless, but I'm telling you this. He told me to judge you by your fruits. That's what He told me. You shall know them by their fruits. And all I can say this morning is I see a lot of people in church say they love God. But I would have to say, no, you don't. I'm not being mean this morning. I'm just telling you the truth. Amen? Hallelujah. Man, I just hit a stump. Let me just put it this way. If you treated the relationship, if you're married this morning, if you treated that relationship like you treat your relationship with Christ, I would tell you, you don't love your mate. Don't talk to them. You don't go where they're at. Don't want to be around. I mean, I could go on and on and on this morning. But I want to challenge you from His Word. Not my Word. I'm challenging you from His Word. He asked the question, how can you say you love Me if you don't do what I say? Everybody wants to say, well, I'm free. Well, yeah, we are free. But you're not talking about the same kind of freedom. Amen. Love is an action. And when you love something, nobody has to put rules on love. There's no laws on love because love is an action and we do because of love. And I bring this out because we are looking at these values, the treasure we have in Christ, the treasure because of what Christ did for us. We looked at the grace of God last week. We looked at what that means, and because it's His grace and there's no limits to what He can do for you, that's what makes it amazing. I'm limited on what I can do for you. I'm very limited. But I'm glad you're not dependent upon my grace today. You're depending on the grace of God today. And as we look at these things, my prayer is that you cannot leave here the same person when you learn more about the value that Christ allows you to have because of what He did for you. I just don't see how people today can know what Christ did for them and just walk out and remain. It's just like nothing. Like, oh, He died for me. Woohoo. Are you kidding? How do you think God's going to feel about that? That's His Son. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Everybody still with me this morning? All right. Ephesians chapter 1. We'll begin in verse number 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's how He blesses us. It's in Christ. See, the only way God can even speak to us, the only reason, and we're going to get into this a little bit later, but we've got to understand the only connection we have with God is Christ. You've got to see that. You've got to understand the only connection that I have with my Almighty Creator is Christ. That's the only reason I have access to the throne of God today. Amen? And I've got access to all these blessings. It's because of Jesus Christ. So does that not in itself place the value of what Christ should mean to you in your life? He is the only way you receive anything of God. And we walk around as if it's no big deal. We live our lives like He's not even a part of them. Because sadly, that's the reason. He's not a part of your decisions. He's not a part of your life. He's not in your mind. You're not worshiping Him. You're out there for yourself and your selfish pleasures. That's what I'm saying, the value of Christ. He is my connection with God. How can I not communicate with Him on a daily basis? How can I not look at His Word and live by His Word? How can I not allow Him to guide me and lead me through this life? It's because you don't place much of a value on the spiritual blessings. As we've already talked, I don't want to re-preach everything, but I want to say this, spiritual blessings are much more than money can ever think about buying. The things we have in Christ you cannot buy. Verse number 4 says, according as He has chosen us. We looked at that last week. He's chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. We looked at that word accepted. We looked at the word adoption. We talked a lot about how we are accepted because of this adoption. We looked at that last week. We also looked at the fact that by law, even in Jewish law, they could put out their own children. They could legally put away their own children, but they could not. If they had legally adopted a child, there was no law written, no way possible for that child to ever be pushed away. And what that means to us, He showed us adoption because nobody can revert that. Nobody can change it. Once you're a child of God, you're a child of God forever. Verse number 7. We're not only accepted in the blood, but he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Today, that is what we're going to talk about. The riches of redemption. We are redeemed only, and see, this is, again, you've got to understand, redemption, it's not five different ways you can choose. It's not, oh, I can get redeemed by doing this, or I can get redeemed because of this. No, you must, it all goes back to Christ. Amen. We have this redemption. We are redeemed because of Christ. The only reason today we can even talk about being redeemed is because of Christ. So I'm going to walk through this morning. You can follow in Scripture, however. But I want you to, you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. You've got to get this in your mind before it will ever translate into any other part of your body and become a part of your life. You've got to hear the Word of God and believe it. You've got to understand how valuable Christ is. See, the devil's always trying to make you feel like everything else is so important. We're going to look at all that and how deceiving he is. But church, if we in this building do not value Christ, who in the world is going to? We ought to know the value we have in Jesus. The reason nobody wants what you got because you ain't got nothing that shows who he is. We are to be the light of the world. He put that on us. He put that on every one of us. He gave me the responsibility to be a light in this world, not to live however I wanted to live. My liberty is not for an occasion to my family. No, he told me I'm bought with a price. Ye are not your own. Do you believe the Word of God? Stop telling people, oh, I can do whatever I want to do. No, no, no. You are bought with a price. There was a price on your head. You got to get away from the culture of thinking, well, it's my life and I'll do what... No, no, no. Wait a minute. If you place yourself under Christ, He purchased you. And He said, we have redemption through His blood. But what you got to understand, first of all, in order to understand, again, I like to understand the value of something because most of the time people don't value things until it's taken away. Right? You don't understand the value of something until it's gone. You don't understand the value of a friendship until they're gone. You don't understand of a family member until they're gone. You don't understand the value of something until it's gone, and then you sit back and you're like, wow, man, I didn't realize this. I don't want us to be that way. I mean, thankfully, Christ is never going to go away. But we got to understand what redemption means, and the way we can do that, pardon me, the way we can do that this morning is to understand why redemption is necessary. Okay, if you don't understand redemption, you'll never understand why it's important and how valuable it is. Right? I know this is, again, simplicity, but that's what confounds the wise. That's what confounds a lot of people. Redemption this morning, why is redemption necessary? Well, if you go back to the book of Genesis, okay? God created this world, and He created man, and He put man in this world, and He created a garden in this world for the man, created every living thing, all the animals. Adam named all the animals. And then God saw that it was not good for Adam to be alone, and therefore out of his side, from his rib, He gave him Eve. And God created all that, and He placed him in this garden. And we could talk about how that garden was, it was a perfect place. There was no sin. There was no thorns. There was no thistles. There was no sweat to be had when he was working. It was a joyful thing to go out and work the ground every day. Yes, he had to work, but he didn't have to struggle with all the, you know, the thorns and the thistles and the weeds. Could you imagine having a garden, brother, and not having to worry about a weed? Amen. I mean, hallelujah. You can tell Adam wasn't thinking, right? Nobody got that anyway.
But the garden, it was full. It was no stress, no thorns, no thistles. No, it was an enjoyable work. It was something God gave him to do because we love, honestly, men should. I mean, for the most part, we enjoy going to work, right? If you can't, if you're not working, a lot of times you're going crazy, right? You sit around the house. So I mean, I've been between occupations for a minute. It's like you almost go crazy. You got to be doing something. That's why, you know, hopefully there was always a wood pile somewhere I could split on or something. But it's in us. God put that in us. But what we've got to understand is, what did God tell Adam and Eve? He gave them all this. You remember, He gave them all that was to be had in the garden. Everything else. And He put one tree in there and He said, okay, of this tree, of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat it, don't touch it, leave it alone. Now, a lot of people wonder, well, why would God put, you know, why did God have to start off with restrictions? Even in a perfect world, God had a restriction. Let me just make this very simple to you. What God was trying to do is help us all understand the importance of obeying God. And let me lay this out very simple. There's a verse, and maybe we'll get to it here in just a minute. It talks about, you are servants to whom you obey. You remember that verse? You've heard that verse. We'll look it up maybe here in a minute. What He's telling Adam is, if you love all that I've done for you and all that I've prepared and all that I've created, and I've given you this garden, all the beautiful fruits and all the things and to enjoy and all this, and all I'm asking you to do is to stay away from that tree. What God wanted was, He wanted obedience. Very simple. God tells us in His Word that obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. Obedience is the key to serving God. So, who do you think knew that better than anybody else? That if Adam and Eve served God and obeyed Him, and he only served God and only went after God, then the devil would have no foothold here on this earth. See, what a lot of people don't understand is the devil being a fallen angel. He came, he had to take upon him a physical... The only way he could come into this world is to find some physical form to show up in. And the serpent, he showed up as a serpent, right? Somebody look at me like y'all read from a different Bible or something. He came and he was a serpent. Okay? He had to come into a physical form to come into this physical world. Jesus had to come into a physical form to come into this world. It's just how it works. But do you realize the only way Satan could have any part of this creation was he had to find somebody that would obey him? Because the Bible tells me that's who you serve. That's who you're giving your allegiance to. Who you serve or who you obey, that's who you're serving. So the devil came down and the first thing he did was he deceived them. He was slick. He made them think that God was withholding something. After all that he had done for them, he's like, now, you're not really going to die. He just doesn't want you to be as smart as him. Basically what he told him, right? He just doesn't want you to be as smart as he is. And he deceived Eve. Eve took of the fruit. The Bible tells us that Adam did as well. Again, I don't even know where Adam was at. His head was in the clouds somewhere. But to make a long story short, because of that sin, because they chose to obey Satan instead of obeying the Creator, there was a separation. Go with me to Isaiah 59. Let's go to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59 in verse number 1 says, he says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear." Why does He even tell us that? What He wants you to understand is the problem is not with God. Everybody wants to point blame at God.
Well, why would God allow evil to happen in this world?
No, you allowed, we allowed, I allowed evil in this world. Okay? Thank you, honey. I got an amen up here, amen. The problem is not with God. God's hand is not short that He can't save you. God does not have a handicap. God doesn't have an ailment to where He can't help you. But look at what verse 2 says. "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." The problem with us, the reason we have to be redeemed, is we first of all must understand that because of sin, sin is what separates us from a holy God in heaven. We made a choice to be the servants of sin. We made a choice to be the servants of sin. And because of that, there has been a separation between us and God. Adam, you know the story. I'm not going to dig into that deep, but Adam, they went and hid, which was another... I'm thinking, Adam, He's the creator of the world. Like, He doesn't know where you're at? God wasn't asking because He didn't know where He was. He was asking because He knew Adam didn't know where He was. He was like, "Wait a minute, Adam, where are you? What have you done? Who's told you this?" The Lord starts dealing with the issue. Now, to kind of streamline to get to where we need to be this morning, the reason we need redemption, I think, and I hope, you've got to understand this and you've got to see this. Because of sin, because I chose, and you must understand, nobody forced you to sin. It was of your own free will. Amen? Some of y'all are looking like, No, the Bible tells me you were tempted of your own lust and enticed. You sin yourself. Nobody forced you. Nobody put a... you made a decision. That decision separated you between... It put a separation, a wall, a barrier between me and God. A great gulf fixed. But the problem is not with God. His arm's not short. His hand's not crippled. He doesn't have a problem. No, it's the sin. It's because we chose to serve another master. You've got to understand there's two masters. You're going to serve one or the other. You can't serve both. Can't do it. So you've got to see yourself now, and most of you don't understand because we've never had to really live through it in our culture, but if you understand like a slave market, this is basically, your understanding is basically you have chosen... God, first of all, possesses us because He created us. He has ownership of me, Brother Alex, because He made me. Right? If you make something, if you create something, you own that something. You've got to understand that. Again, you're not your own even before you're saved. You were created by God. So when I make the choice to serve the other master is, we understand Him as the deceiver of this world. See, the problem with this world is not that God didn't design it right. No, God designed it perfect. We allowed Satan to come in and destroy it through sin. Sin, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin, He has come to kill, steal, and destroy. That's His mission statement. That's His business plan. And we serve that business plan. And then we cry out to God wondering why things are falling apart. God said, I showed you the way. I've got the light right there in front of you. You're serving the wrong person. What you got to see is this. And you got to visually understand this. You have placed yourself on the auction block of sin, the master of sin, and he is selling you out. He is selling you out. The old saying goes, it'll take you further than you ever wanted to go. It'll cost you a whole lot more than you ever wanted to pay. Being a servant to sin, he does not care about you. The devil wants you to think, yes, there is a pleasure in sin for a season, and that season is very short. And then you have to reap all the repercussions of it. He is a deceiver, and you've placed yourself on the market of sin. And if you stay there and you remain there, you will continually be used and abused by sin and because of sin, because the master of sin wants to destroy you. He does not want you to serve God. Because the devil is power hungry, and the only way he gets power is for people to serve him. Are you understanding me? He doesn't like people that honor God and follow after God because he has no place there. Paul told us don't give place to the devil. Why? Because you give him a place of rulership in your life. See, the devil doesn't have power. When I yield to the power of God and I yield to the Spirit of God and I'm saved by the grace of God, he no longer has power over me. Amen? But you've got to understand, without Christ, the reason we need to be redeemed is we are standing here. We have made a choice. And we are serving sin. And the Bible tells me the wages of sin is death. Spiritually, I am dead for eternity. You've got to understand that when you are a sinner without Christ, without redemption, you are doomed for eternity. Y'all realize that? You say, well, I'm not. I'm saved. Well, wait a minute. Do you really? I mean, if you are saved, aren't you thankful? I am standing separated from God without redemption. So we see, what is it without redemption? Without redemption, I have no hope in this world. I have nothing. Let me go to one other verse here. You know, we see why redemption is necessary. The next thing, what is the cost of redemption? How is a person redeemed? What does it mean? Go to Hebrews chapter number 9 first, and then we're going to flip back over. Hebrews chapter 9. Go to verse 22. It says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. Okay? You must understand the cost of being redeemed. See, we just talked about why were we in the mess we were in before we got saved. And if you're here and you're not saved, you're still in that mess. Without redemption, I am doomed for eternity. But the only way I can be bought back, the cost of my redemption is this. The law was put into place. The law was put into place and the law stated that only by the shedding of blood was there remission of sins. And then there was particulars put upon that shedding of blood. It wasn't just any blood. You couldn't go kill a rat today and shed his blood and it'd be okay. No, it's not just any blood. You must understand the cost. See, one slave cannot redeem another slave. Right? We're all slaves. You got to understand, we were slaves to sin. I cannot redeem another slave if I'm a slave. And the Bible tells me, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So everybody is a slave, so you cannot redeem anybody. There's nobody that is here on this earth right now that can redeem anybody else. Again, I'm limited. I can't help you with your redemption myself. I can't do anything. My arm is short. I come up short if I'm trying to redeem you. One slave cannot redeem another slave. The law of the Passover, and you can go look this up and you remember the story. The law of the Passover states that it had to be the shedding of a spotless, innocent lamb that they put on the doorpost and the lintel. You remember that? The law that was put into place, it had to be a spotless, innocent lamb. Psalm chapter 49. We're turning the corner and heading for home, okay? So stay with me. Psalm 49, verse number 1. Psalm 49, verse 1 says, "Hear this, all ye people, give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the harp. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of mine heel shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever." What is he talking about here? What he's trying to help us understand is to understand the value of redemption. We cannot. He's saying, I don't care how rich you are, you can never pay for the redemption of anybody. So that leaves me back to the place, the price of our redemption, the price, the cost of it, was by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse Peter chapter 1, let's look at verse number 18. For sake of time here. He said, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." Peter says, this is not how you were. You weren't redeemed because your mom and daddy were rich. You weren't redeemed because your mom and daddy went to church. You weren't redeemed because your mom and daddy were good people. Young person, you're sitting here this morning. If you're trying to hold on to the coattail of your mom and dad's salvation, let me tell you this morning, it will get you no closer to heaven than anything. You are not redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. It doesn't matter what you follow, the works and patterns you go after from the traditions of those before you, you do not get redeemed because of that. Look at what he says in verse 19. "But with the precious blood of Christ." David said, you know what? The redemption is precious. And Jesus' blood is the only blood that is precious enough to redeem you. Because Jesus Christ, and you can look at the book of Revelation. You remember they were looking to see who was worthy to open the books and open the seals. And they said they looked around and nobody was worthy. And then he said, I looked, and as if it was one who had been slain, a lamb who had been slain. He's the only one who's worthy to redeem you this morning. The only one. It took the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You got to see this, and I'm going to try to walk you through this as quick as I can. as sinners, we sold ourselves to sin. We did. That was our choice. You can sit here and mull over it. Well, I've
been a good person.
No, you're a sinner. If you've broken one part of the law, you broke it all. I mean, you can't sit here and say, well, I was a pretty good person. No, you're a sinner and you're bound for a devil's hell. Amen? Without Christ, that's where we are. We're standing on the block. Now, we understand that by creation, I am a possession of His because He created me. But you know, people that want to argue the fact, see, God gave Adam and Eve a free will from the beginning. There's a lot of people today even arguing with me about that. God told them, here's the garden, here's everything in it. You can enjoy it all you want, but don't touch that tree. He gave them a free will. He did. He didn't make robots. And young people, you need to listen up. There's a trend going around, and it's amazing to me, the people that are coming back saying, well, no, we don't have a free will. Yes, we do. What blessing would it be of God for us to, you know, what blessing would He get out of if He knew I had to and I was demanded to serve Him? There's no blessing in that. You know what blesses me about my family and my wife? You know what it's blessing about me when they do something, but just because they love me. I got about 7 cards yesterday as I was sitting studying from my 2 little girls. I didn't demand that from them. But man, they kept running in the room. Hey, Daddy, I got something for you. I'd open them little cards, and I'm not going to embarrass her. But Kayla wrote, Daddy, thank you for loving me and being my daddy and for being my pastor. Whew. That's the beauty of it. That's what God wants from us. He gave us a free will. Anyway, getting back to it, we're standing here on the slave market. We're sold out. We're so in debt to sin, there's no way out. You've got to understand, when you are a sinner, there is no way you can pay the debt. Nobody can pay the debt. You're looking around, nobody can pay. Nobody. And then all of a sudden, the Maker of all the earth walks in. And that master running the slave market lays out the law. It says the only way he can be redeemed is through innocent blood. And God the Father says, all right, I've already talked to my son. My son said he'd take his place. So I see the Father and I see the Son. He comes up. He takes the chains off of me, releases me from that old master, and He puts the chains upon Him. He becomes sin for me. And He lets me go free. I don't know about you, but I don't know how people can live lives with the absence of Christ, saying they love Him, saying they no, don't call yourself a Christian if you're not going to allow Him to live through you. You shouldn't have to call yourself a Christian. You should just be evident it's you're a Christian. But how? I don't understand. And young people, you need to not let the devil deceive you into thinking this world's got something better, because I see him getting footholds into your homes, into your decisions and things that you're doing. And I plainly see Christ is not in your decisions. And I have to stand here this morning and say, you are not seeing what He did for you when He redeemed you. Because how in the world could you live a life against the truth that He put in the Word of God? With the love that He showed, He took your place. See, you don't understand that. You act as if it didn't hurt Jesus. Yes, it did. He felt everything. Amen. He was mutilated beyond recognition for you. And he still, people want to argue the fact, no, when he came back after putting the blood on the mercy seat, and he came back 8 days later into the room with his disciples, and he told Thomas, thrust your hand in my side. You know what? When you see Jesus, he's still got a gaping hole in his side. He's still got holes in his hands. And the scars from the crown. Why? Because he gave up his innocency so you could be innocent. So how in the world can you go out and serve the master of this world and he has done nothing for you but destroy and deceive? How can you do that after what he did for you? That would be just as if, even if it was in an earthly way, that somebody came in and paid an awesome price so that you could be freed from slavery, from somebody that continually beat you, somebody that was misusing you, somebody that was just hurting you daily, and he released you from that and gave you freedom. How ignorant would it be for that person to go back to that person after he's free? But people do it every single day. And it's because they don't see the value that he gave us in being redeemed. I have the righteousness of Christ on me because he took the chains off of me and put them on himself. You've got to understand, somebody paid for your sin and you didn't have to. That's the problem. Everybody's like, well, no big deal. I don't have to worry about it. Jesus did. He's still bearing the marks, and for eternity will bear the marks of your sin. You know, he's going to wipe away all the tears from our eyes. I believe a lot of those tears are going to be because you're going to look at him and realize what he went through and realize the life you lived, almost spitting in his face because you acted as if you didn't even care what he said in his word. And he said, how can you say you love me and you don't do what I say? That's why you're going to be weeping. You're going to be broken because you did not do what he said. You lived for the simple pleasures of this life, and you lived under the deceit of that other master. And he said the whole time, I gave you freedom to follow me and obey me. And you know what? You follow the words of the Lord. I'm not saying you won't go through trials, but everything you go through is for your good and his glory. Everything he puts in your life is for your good. But if you follow after the other master, your life is going to be filled with day after day of trouble and turmoil, and you're going to find yourself reaping corruption out of what you've sown in your life. It's just the way it is. But I'm just here to shout in front of you this morning and say, he has freed you from sin. You don't have to be in bondage anymore. That master no longer has authority over you. You're giving it to him. The only reason you're in bondage is you. What I would love to see is young people especially and all abroad, that we would be living in the freedom he has given me to study his word, to follow after and look at Psalm chapter 1. He gives a perfect roadmap to be a blessed man. He promised me that I'd be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. First three verses of Psalm chapter 1. If you will follow those verses, I guarantee you upon His Word, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. The problem is, you aren't willing to give up your life for His sake, so you'll find the one He's got for you. All I can say this morning is, I do not understand how people, they act as if just coming into the house of God is enough and they've paid God a favor. That is hogwash. That's almost a slap in the face of God. To live like whatever you want to out in the world all week long and come in and sit here like this is a favor to God, you might as well spit in His face. I'm telling you the truth. Jesus said, I want you to have life and have it more abundant. And I look, and you're not having the life He wants. Why? Because you're making decisions against His Word. That's plain and simple. Everybody's seeking for an easy fix. The easy fix is follow what He said. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, just do it. His promises are true. Just popping in 1 hour every week is not going to do it. I promise it ain't. It ain't going to do it. If I only talked to my wife for 1 hour every week, that would not cut it. If I only sat down with her for 1 hour every week, it wouldn't cut it. If she wrote me letter after letter after letter after letter, and she walked in and saw him sitting over in the corner collecting dust, what? She's going to look at me and go, what in the world's going on? Oh, no. And yeah, we used to have to write letters. Y'all are looking at me like, what? Man, when I get one of them letters out of the mailbox, it didn't matter if the house was on fire. I was running to my room. Oh. And yet we treat this like it's another piece of paper in the house. He gave His blood. And we treat this like what? Don't even know where it's at on Sunday morning. Where did I put my Bible? Hold on, honey. Wait a minute. Johnny, have you seen my Bible? You wonder why his life's all messed up? Really, people? We say we love Him. He said, if you abide in Me, that is put upon us. He said, if you abide in Me, I will abide in you. That's not talking about salvation. That's talking about everyday life. You want God to bless you? Abide in Christ. There is no other way around it. I can't give you a secret potion and say, here it is. No, this is the potion. Abide in Christ. But you got to see the value of it. You know what? This ought to be so sweet to you. You can't go. I mean, you're at work just waiting for a break. Not to look on Facebook and see what everybody's saying. That's hogwash. Amen. I'm sorry. It's a waste of time a lot. You ought to segment a little bit of time maybe every day to touch a buddy. Oh, no. No. But if you're doing all that and you're not reading the Word of God, that's why it's hogwash. More worried about what other people are doing and what other people say. Oh, worry about what He said first. Why do you think those things are out? I'm not saying... I got some people looking at me. I know it can be a good tool. It can be, just like anything else. But if it's not managed right, and if you're giving more time to everything else and you don't give any time to this, and you grab it right when you leave the house on a Sunday morning, and you lay it back down when you get back to the house, and you don't mess with it, you don't look, you're nothing. Let me just tell you something. You've got to abide in Him before anybody's going to see Him in you. Let's pray. Father, we love You. I thank You for the power of Your Word. Lord, there are no words that I could bring forth this morning to tell You how thankful I am that when You looked at me on the slave block, sin, knowing it was my actions that got me there,